Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Ayin Tes. We are learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Esther Minzer, Esther Rochel Basruf Shmuel, Alex Weiss, Shlomo Ben Moshe Yaakov, David Schoenfeld, I don't have his Hebrew name, Bernard Myers, Tzvi Ben Moshe, Beatrice Young, I don't have her name, and as well Moshe Yitzchok Ben Yisrael Yaakov, Moshe Schwartz. All the neshamas we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. Okay, we continue to learn, of course, for the safety and the security of all of the chayalim, the kochos habitachon. They should be successful in bringing back the chatufim, successful in all of their endeavors, and to be shalom al Yisrael. Okay, we pick up on the Mishnah on Ayin Tesamut Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Gonav birishus habalim. If a person ganvas something from the actual property, from the estate of the person that he's stealing it from. So there is no shinui rishus. However, v'tavach u'machar chutz me rishusim. But then he takes it outside of their rishus, and at this point there is a geneva, and then he does the tvicha and or the mechira, and in this situation he will be chayiv dalad v'het. As Rashi says, kishahosi me rishuso, when he does take it out from the rishus of the original owner, so naso lov ganav, he becomes a ganav, and v'kano, and he acquires it at this point in time. Then, the Mishnah gives us another scenario, will it be chayiv dalad v'het? Osha ganav chutz mirishusim. He stole the item when it wasn't in their rishus. And even though he then brings it back into their rishus, v'tavach u'machar birishusim, even though he then brings it into their rishus, and he goes and either shechts it or sells it in their rishus, so he accomplished, quote, the geneva when he stole it when it was outside the rishus, so it's now his. And wherever he does the tvicha or the mechira, he will be chayiv to go and pay dalad v'hei. As Rashi points out in this last case, the minute he goes and steals it outside of the Rishus, he's kino b'mashicha, miyad. He immediately acquires it, and he's a ganav, and that's a ganav alav. However, in the next case, Rashi says, ganav atavach u'mashal b'rishusav, it was all within the Rishus of the ganav. The item never left the Rishus of the ganav, then he's going to be potter because he's not technically a ganav yet. The lo nasa alav ganav. And we'll see that a little bit later in the Mishnah, but we still have one more case now. Osha ganav, if he stole the item, v'tavach u'machar chutz mirishusim, he's entirely outside the rishus the entire time. So he's koneh as soon as he's ganving it, and then when he does the shlit or the mechira, it makes no difference where he does it, he's going to be chayav dalad v'hei, as the Mishnah tells us, mishalim tishlomi arba v'chamishim, dalad v'hei. However, and here's the case that Rashi just brought down, avol ganav, if he steals it while it's still in the rishus of the original owner, v'tavach u'machar b'rishusim, and he never takes it out from there, and he shechts it or he sells it in that rishus, so then potter, he's going to be potter, because he never acquired the object, and therefore he can't be chayiv for geneva, and he can't be chayiv for tficha or mechira. Now, this is, of course, assuming that he did nothing to the animal. If he did something to the animal that caused it to die, or he did something to the animal that caused it to get hurt, so then, of course, he would be chayiv for anything that he did. Mishnah continues and tells us, what about the following scenario? The ganav is about to steal the item, but isn't successful. Hayom Moshcho, he is taking the animal out from the rishus of the original owner to an outside rishus, and therefore only at that point in time he would acquire it. V'yotze, as he's taking the animal out, umeis, but it dies b'rishus habalim. It dies while it's still in the rishus of the balim. In this situation, the Mishnah tells us he would be potter. What does potter mean? So Rashi tells us two definitions over here, two possibilities based upon a different gears in Rashi. So the gears that we have is the ganav in this situation, Diramas Hoya, ganav moshcho, the ganav is trying to take it out, make a kinyan mashiach on it, the yotze, but he hasn't yet taken it out, and the animal dies, so potter miklum. So the original girsa that we have in Rashi is that the ganav doesn't pay for anything, because as long as he didn't cause the animal to die, the animal just gets a heart attack. Nothing to do with him stealing it. The animal hurts itself in some way that has nothing to do with him stealing it. So then he's not, quote, negligent in any way, shape, or form. He didn't do anything. He didn't cause the damage, and he didn't yet steal it. So the girsa that we have from Rashi is he doesn't even have to pay the principal, the keren. However, there is another gear, so you can see in the Mesoros Hashas Os Tes, which says, Potter mi kefel, that he wouldn't have to pay the kefel as a ganav. But since he started to steal this, so then he is already considered like he has stolen it in the extent that he's chayav for anything that happens. It's like if a shomer chinam uses an item, even though he didn't break it, didn't do anything with it, he had no right to use it, and therefore once he uses it, anything that happens to it afterwards is considered as if he was posheya. So too, according to this other gear, so that we have in the Mesoros Hashas, he's just potter for the kefel, would he have to pay the principal? Back to the Mishnah. However, he would be ho if he made a kinyan hagbah. Kinyan hagbah works in the rishus of the owner. A kinyan mashicha does not work in the rishus of the owner. But if he made a kinyan hagbah, he lifted it up while it was still in the original owner's rishus. Or Otsio Mirshus Balam, or he in fact did take it out from the Rishus of the Balam, and then the animal dies of mace, so then he would be chayiv in that situation as a ganav. He would be chayiv for kefil if there are witnesses that come along and say that he in fact did steal the animal. He would be chayiv kefil. If he were to admit, he would be chayiv the keren. Okay, Mishnah continues and tells us what happens if this ganav went and gave it to a kohen instead of giving him the 5 shkalim for a pigeon of ben. Nisano lebchoras bino. That seems to be the pshat that Rashi gives. But in the second pshat in Rashi, Rashi has the first pshat. We can see this in Soi Dibra Maskel Nisano. According to the first pshat, is the ba'alav, the owner of it, gave it lebchoras bino lekohen, behez shloim shel pigeon aben. So we're talking here that the owner of the item gave it to the kohen. But Rashi has a second pshat, lishnachrina, nisano ganav lebchoras bino. It seems to fit in the words a little bit easier, that the ganav stole this but didn't take it outside of the rishus, so he wouldn't be kohen it, but he gave it over to the kohen. The kohen thought that it was belonging to the ganav, or else he wouldn't have taken it. So the kohen takes it from the ganav, and son of the ganav lebchoras bino. Then the son of lo shom b'makum sheganavo. So he took it over there from the rishus of the owner. It never left the rishus of the owner, but he transferred it over to the kohen, or he transferred it over to a lusi, a shomachinam, or a shoel. And that's what the Mishnah continues. So, o lebal chov, or he gives it over to a person that he owes money to. So it's still in the rishus of the ganav, but he transferred it over to another person, or l'shomachinam, l'shol, nosisachol, l'shochor, any one of the 4 shomim, to the person who's not getting paid to watch it, or a person who's getting paid to watch it, or to a person who wants to rent it from him, or a person who wants to borrow it from him. And v'hayu moshul, and this person then, either the kohen, or the bal chov, or any one of the shomim, took it, and umeis rishus habalim. So none of these people, not the kohen, not the one who was owed the money, not the borrower, or the renter, or the people who are watching it, is either paid or unpaid watchmen, none of the shomrim, they took it out or started to take it out, but it umeis rishus habalim, but it never left the rishus of the balam. So in this situation, potter, they're all going to be potter, including the ganav himself. So haganav miklum, again, according to the gears that we have, that he's potter from everything, according to the gears of the source of shas, that said, be potter, be kefil. So in that situation, he wouldn't have to pay the kefil. However, if there was a kinyan hagbah that was made, like we said before, or osher tzir mishus habalim, or any one of these people did in fact take it out from the rishus of the original owner, so then if it dies with meis, then chayiv, the ganav over here, would be in fact chayiv. Okay, that's our Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says that Amemar has the following question. Boy, Amemar. Amemar asks, Tiknu Mishicha B'shomrim Olo. When the rabbis instituted that a person who's a lekuchos, a buyer, a purchaser of something, has to go and make a kinyan mishicha and is not kone it with money, according to the din in the Torah, when you transfer over money, that should make the kinyan. However, the rabbis were concerned that, let's say, Reuven sells something to Shimon. He sells him some grain that he has, and it still is in Reuven's silo. So Reuven has no incentive to go and protect and say that if there's a fire there, he's not going to go put himself at any risk or go and put himself at any effort to go and save it. He'll say, listen, it's Shimon's now, let Shimon go do it. So in order to protect against this type of a callous behavior, the rabbi said that you don't make a kinyan with just the money. So if the item is still in the original owner's rishus, you have to make a kinyan meshicha or another type of valid kinyan, like hagbah. If you didn't make a kinyan meshicha, so then it still is considered as if it's Reuven's. So this was done for the protection of the purchaser, so that the original owner wouldn't just say, that's it, it's not mine anymore, it's your problem, you have to watch it, you have to go take care of it, even though it's still in Reuven's rishus, the original owner's rishus. So the rabbis made this takana, you have to make a kinyan meshicha, because this way it shows that the person is taking acquisition of it, and now he knows he has to be responsible for it. So the purchaser, in this situation, once he makes a kinyan meshicha, is responsible for it. Until then, the rabbi said, no, we're making a takana that the seller is still responsible for it. So this din of requiring a kinyan meshicha before the lekuchos actually go and take possession of it in halacha, they don't take possession of it by giving over the money, which would be the din d'oraisa, but they require kinyan meshicha. So a member asks, did this takana apply as well to shomrim or not? Tiknu mishicha b'shomrim olam. Now, what's the possibility over here? The rabbi said across the board that you only acquire something when you make kinyan meshicha. If you don't make a kinyan meshicha, so then even the shomer doesn't acquire it. Or did they say no, that was solely for the protection of the purchaser, but for a shomer, they never made such a takana, and he doesn't have to make a kinyan just by giving it over, so then it belongs in the possession of the shomer. That's the question that I've ever asked. Amar Rav Yemar answers Amemar, and he says, Toshma, I'll show you right from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Nisano Libuchor has been no. We had that if the person who's being a ganav over here gave it over to a Kohen instead of giving him 5 shkalim for pidyon haben, or the ganav gave it over to his Baal Chov, or he gave it over to any of the 4 shalom, and if they made a kinyan mishicha, but if it didn't yet leave the possession of the rishus of the original owner, so then that kinyan mishicha is not valid. You can't make a kinyan mishicha in the rishus of the original owner. It has to be outside of his rishus. So the Mishnah said, "Hayamoshel v'yotze umeis rishus abalim." If he did a kinyan mishicha, he's pulling it out of the rishus of the original owner, but it dies before he gets out, so then part it. So then you see that that didn't make an effective kinyan. And we don't say that they owned it already, that they need to make an effective kinyan. So isn't this also talking about the 4 shomer? It's not only talking about the Kohen or the Baal Chov, it's talking about the 4 shomer. My love shomer, any of the 4 shomer, ushma mino tiknu mishicha bishomer. And you see clearly from a Mishnah that a kinyan mishicha was necessary for the shomer as well. So asked and answered, Rabbi Yemer says to Amemer, yes, the rabbis were masaki, they need a kinyan mishicha for shomer as well. But the Gemara says, lav davka, amalei. Amemar could say back to Rabbi Amar, lo, not necessarily so. In fact, that statement that said, Hayamosh, Rabbi Yosei, Umeis, Vishu Sabalim, only went on the Ganav himself, but it doesn't go on the Shomer. The Gemara says that if it's only going on the Ganav, then we already learned that in the first part of the Mishnah, Hatonu Le'Resha. So he already said it, so why would he repeat it? So the Gemara says, you know why he repeated it? Had to teach us the following both dinim. Tano, Ganav, Shagon, the Beis Valim, had to teach us the Ganav taking it out from the Beis Valim. And then it also had to teach us the case where the ganav gave it over to the shomer, and then he has to do a mishicha from the shomer as well. So you see that the rabbis did in fact institute a kinyan mishicha from a shomer as well as from a ganav. So that's what the Gemara says. Tosa has a problem with this, because Tosa says then if in fact the item that was being stolen was given over, let's say, to the Kohen or to a Baal Chov, so then they would actually have acquired it. So in that situation, why would it require an additional kinyan mishicha? So Tosfos explains it wasn't actually given over to them. It was given over to them as a collateral. So therefore, it would serve as a collateral if he didn't pay the pidyon haben money or if he didn't pay back his chov. So therefore, they didn't actually own it yet, and that's why if he doesn't do a kinyan mishicha out of the rishus of the original owner, it still is considered like it belongs to the original owner. In any event, that's the Gemara's answer, that we needed it stated twice. One time to teach us that if you're ganging it from the base of Balaam, and one time to teach us if you're ganging it from the base Shomer. So the Gemara says, why do we need both? Why would you think that there should be a difference in the din between the two of them? Amalei Ravashi. Ravashi says to Amemar, no, that's not a good answer that you're giving. Lo tidchaya, don't push aside Rav Yemar's Raya, because in fact, Mali Ganav Shigonav Beis Shomer, Mali Ganav Shigonav Beis Balaam. Why would I think there should be a difference between the two? So therefore, El Alav Shomer, it is talking, in fact, like Rav Yemer said about a Shomer, and in fact, that was a good Raya. Ushma Mina, Tiknu Mashiach B'Shomer. And that is, in fact, Rav Ashi says, Rav Yemer's answer to you was a good answer to you. Shma Mina, yeah, Taka, that's a good answer. And we further say, It Marnami, that Omar Rabbi Elazar said, Kidera Shetiknu Mashiach B'Lukuchos, so King Tiknu Mashiach B'Shomer. Just like the rabbis instituted, as I mentioned before, this din, that you have to make a kinyan Mashiach if you're a purchaser, in order that the original owner, the seller, will not just throw his hands up in the air and say, tough luck, sorry buddy, you should have gone in and saved your item from the fire. But no, if no kinyanship was done, so the money doesn't actually transfer over the item from the seller to the purchaser, so therefore the seller will go and watch it. So therefore the rabbis were masakin in that situation. The kinyan mishicha is required for lekucho, so too they were masakin that you need to do a kinyan mishicha in regards to shomrim as well. And not only did the rule laws say that, Tanganam Yach, we have a brisa that says the same thing. Just like the rabbis instituted this takana in regards to lekuchos, they instituted it in regards to shomim as well. And then an additional takana in this brisa, ukishem sha karka, niknes, bekesse, bishtaru, bechazaka, just like karka can be acquired by the giving over of money, or by a shtar that effectuates the transfer, or by the person who's purchasing it making a chazaka in the field, so too, kach tzchiris, a rental, can also be acquired with these three methodologies, niknis mekesef, bishtar, v'chazaka. Where it says, really, a rental? What type of rental are you talking about? Well, tzchiris demai. If you're telling me it's talking about the tzchiris of metalteli, and we turn to ayin tes omid beis, tzchiris demai, the Gemara says at the bottom of ayin tes omid aleph, ilemav, and now we turn to ayin tes omid beis. If you're telling me that it's tzchiris de metaltelin, that it's the rental of a horse, let's say, metalteli, of a car, so then metalteli b'nei shtar ininu, can you acquire metalteli through a shtar? No. Metatli is acquired through one of the valid kinyanim for Metatli, such as Hagbah or Mashicha. So therefore, it can't be talking this brisa that it's talking about Sechirus of Metatli. The Gemara says, you're right. Omer Chisda. Chisda says, absolutely. It's talking about Sechirus the Karka. If you're renting land, the other person rents an apartment, he rents a field. So in that situation, so then the regular rules of Karka in terms of Kinyan, Kesef, Shtar, or Chazak apply as well to a rental as they do to a purchase. Mark continues and tells us, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Ra'u Shehitvin B'Charoshin. If you see a person hiding in the Charoshin are forests, Yar. So if you see a person hiding in the forest and he's trying to steal animals in that situation, and he steals an animal there, V'Tavach U'Mochar, and he then shafts the animal or sells the animal, so this is a regular case of a Ganav, Mishalim Tashlumi Arba B'Chamisha. This would be perfectly a case of Geneva with Tvicha and Mechira. Where it says, but wait a second, Amai, the guy didn't make any sort of a kinyan on the animals. He shachted it right there. So how did he ever actually acquire it? So the Gemara says, Amar Ruchista, Ruchista tells us, Shekisha l'makil. He gave it a zetz with a stick, and the animal moved, and that is a form of meshicha. So in this situation, he did make a valid kinyan, and therefore the geneva is a geneva, and then the tvicha mechiru will make him pay dalag hay afterwards. The Gemara says, Amrei, wait a second. The chivin de ra'u, but wait a second, this ganav is visible. So then, why is he a ganav? He should be a gazlan. Instead of calling him a ganav, that he's chayiv in kefil and dalag vehei, he should have the status of a gazlan. Gazlan who, and should not be chayiv in kefil and dalag vehei, as we've already mentioned before, and here today we'll see the reasoning behind why a ganav is in fact chayiv kefil and dalag vehei, and a gazlan is not. So since this person is not acting surreptitiously, he's in the forest and people see him, he should have the status of a gazlan and not be chayiv in all of these things, as opposed to a ganav who is chayiv. So Gemara says, no, he's a ganav, he's not a gazlan, because kivan dekor mitmerei minayu, since he's hiding in this yar, in this choroshin, so therefore he is a ganav and not a gazlan. Ganav who? And therefore he pays kek, he pays dal pay. No, if this guy is also called the ganav, even though everybody sees him, then what's your definition of a gazlan? Well, a gazlan, hechi tami. How do you define a gazlan that would not be chayiv in Kefil and Dalavei, which we've mentioned previously why, and we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, so I'll wait till we get to the Gemara to reiterate why a Gazlan is not Chayav Dalavei or Kefil. So the Gemara tells us, what is the definition of a Gazlan? So we have two answers. First one is Rabbi Avo. On the Rabbi Avo, this would be like Kigon bin Ayyob bin Yoda, the great general of David HaMelech. It says about him, Shinemar, Vayigzol es achanis miyad ha-mitzri, he bin Ayyob bin Yoda took the spear directly from the hand of Mitzri, and he killed him with his own spear. Now, that is a gazlan. He's not afraid at all. He goes right up to the guy and does it. So that's Rabbi Yavo's definition of a gazlan. Rabbi Yochan Omar Kigon Bale Shchem. He says, it's like the people who lived in Shchem. It says about them, Shinemar, Vayasimu lo Bale Shchem Mo'arvim al Rosh Yoharim. These people from Shchem were bad people, and they hid, they laid in ambush in the mountains. Vayigzulu, the word should be eitz, kol asher yavor aleihem badarach, and they would steal from the people that would pass by over there, they would rob them at gunpoint, so to say. So that is a gazlan. Nu, what's the difference between these two opinions, Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan? So Rabbi Avo, my time alomar mehai, why didn't Rabbi Avo give us the teretz that in fact Rabbi Yochanan gave us? So the Gemara says, because Amalach, Rabbi Avo would say to Rabbi Yochanan, Kivan de mitmerei itamure lo gazlini ninu, because your people are hiding in the mountains, so therefore they're not as full-fledged gazlans as my case would be in Ayyob and Yoyada. So that's why he didn't give your example. No, Rabbi Yochanan, why didn't he give this example? Because he wanted to teach us that not only in the case of Bin Ayyob and Yoyada, where he did it outright and open without any concerns whatsoever, is the Gazlan, but even in the case where they're hiding, why were they hiding? Because in this situation, they weren't going and hiding because they were afraid. They were hiding so that the people that they're going to rob wouldn't see them. If the people saw the robbers standing there, they wouldn't go that way. So therefore, in order to protect their ability to go and rob, not because they were afraid, but in order to make sure that the people that they're robbing would come to them, that's why they hid. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Yochanan wanted to be machadish to us. And Rabbi Avoh felt, no, that since they're hiding, that is considered that they're ganovim and not gazlan. Okay. Now we have the famous answer. Why does a ganav pay and not a gazlan pay? What's the difference between a ganav and a gazlan? So Shaul Tamidim is Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The Tamidim answer, Yochanan Zakkai, Mipnei Mahi Chmira Torah Beganav,
Yoshimi Gazim. Why was the Torah stricter with the Ganim to make him pay Kefil and Dalav Hay? And a Gazim just has to pay back the principal. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai answers them, Amalem, he tells his Talmidim, he says, Vizeh Hishva quote Eved liquot Kono, Vizeh Lo Hishva quote Eved liquot Kono. Because the Gazlan is not afraid of anybody. He's basically saying that I don't really care about God, but I also don't care about people. So he's equating the kavod for both of them together. Whereas the Ganav says, well, I don't really care about God. He knows what I'm doing, but I don't really care. But I'm afraid about this guy. I'm afraid about the owner. I'm afraid about the shomrim. I'm afraid about the police. So therefore, he is worse. He's, so to say, afraid of man, and he's not afraid of God. And the Gazlan, as terrible as he says, I'm not afraid of God, but I'm also not afraid of man. And Kaviyachol, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai continues, also, Ayin shomato kilu eno roeh, v'ozin shomato kilu eno shomas. This Ganav is, so to say, making, now it's a euphemism, we'll be able to say, that it's the Ayin shomato, it means the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He calls it Ayin shomato because he doesn't want to say that God doesn't see this. So he calls it this world's eyes, like it was people's eyes, so it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, and this world's ears, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ears. This Ganav says, I don't really worry about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I only worry about people. So therefore, that's why the Ganav is punished more than the Gazan. And this is based upon a pasuk that we have from Yeshaya Shenemar. Hoy hamamikim me Hashem, laster eitzo, hoy b'machshoch ma'aseim v'gomer. So it's a terrible thing for these people that they hide from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say. They think they can hide from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they do all their actions in darkness, and they say, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to go and see us over here. That's not a problem. That's what the end of the pasuk says. The end of the pasuk says, v'yomru, Mi ro'enu u'mi odienu. Ah, nobody's going to know about this. So they make it like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know about it. And that's what's so terrible. That's what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says. That's what's so terrible about the Gana versus the Gaza. Furthermore, Uksiv, it says in Tehillim, Vayomu lo yira yah lo yovin el keyakov. Again, a similar idea. At the end of this passage that we have in Yeshaya, it says, Vayomu mi ro'enu u'mi odienu. A similar idea is expressed in Tehillim. Vayomu lo yira yah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see us, lo yovin el keyakov, and he doesn't know what's going on. So they're making HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he doesn't know what's going on. That's far worse. We'll see it furthermore. It says in Yechezkel, the same idea. Ki Amru, that's what the Pasuk should say. Ozav Hashem es oretz, v'en Hashem roi. It's that God left the land. He doesn't see. He doesn't know what's going on. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says the Ganav is far worse than the Gazlan. Now, you can delete the word Tanya or not. It's telling us what Rameh said. So it's not actually a Brice. So it's just telling us, if you don't have the word Tanya, Amru Rameh. Rameh tells us, Mashlo, Mashlo, Mishum Rabbi Gamliel. He said the following Mashlo was given over by Rabbi Gamliel. What's the difference between a Ganav and a Gazlan? It's the following analogy, the following marshal. L'shnei be'yadim, two people, the Hayu be'ir, that lived in a certain city, also Mishnah, they made a wedding. Mishnah is usually a wedding, a big party. So they made a wedding. So you have Reuven making a wedding and Shimon making a wedding. And Reuven, Echod Zimin, is be'ir. Reuven just invites the people in the city. Below Zimin is be'amel, but he doesn't invite the king's son, who lives in the city or should have been invited. The other guy, the Echod, he didn't invite the king's son, but he also didn't invite anybody else. After Lozimin has been a year, Lozimin has been a melech. So who is worse? Ezmeim on Shemruvu. When the king finds out about this, so who's going to be madder at? Both Reuven and Shimon didn't invite his son, but Reuven invited everybody else, and not his son, whereas Shimon didn't invite anybody. So heavy Omer. So the marshal goes that the king would be much more upset. Heavy Omer is there. Shazimin is bnei a year. Below Zimin is bnei a melech. He's going to be much more mad at him. Listen, the guy invited everybody but my son. That's a chutzpah. That's a direct attack against me. No, the guy didn't invite anybody. He's wrong. He should have invited my son. Even if he's not inviting anybody else, he should have invited my son. But he won't be as mad at the second person. So the second person is like the Gazlan. He's not inviting anybody. He's not afraid of anybody. And the first person is the Ganav. He's afraid of everybody else. He invites everybody else, but he doesn't invite the son. He's not afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Where it continues, I'm a Remeir. Another statement from Remeir. Borei kamal gobel koach shel melacha. Look and see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu took into account the value of working. Now, when you steal a shor or a set, we said, for the set you pay dalit if you go and shechted to sell it, whereas for the shor you pay hay. So we've given a reason previously, which we'll see again in the Gemara, but now we have another reason that Rav Meir is going to give us. We haven't said this previously. Shor shebitlu mimlachto, a shor which we went and didn't allow the owner to use this shor, so you prevented it from working. Shebitlu mimlachto, we now can't plow, we can't thresh with this shor, so chamisha. So therefore, the Ganav has to go and pay five times because he's also being forced to pay for the lack of allowing the guy to work with the shor in addition to stealing the shor. Whereas the set, shlo bitlu milachto, you don't use a sheep for work. So therefore, we only make you pay arba. So look how great work is, that when you stop the guy from working, you have to pay additional money. So that's why you pay 5 for a shor and 4 for a set. Amr of Yochanan Zakkai, Yochanan Zakkai gives a different reason. Borei, Kamagodu Kolu Birs, that the reason why you pay 4 for a set is different than why you pay 5 for a shor, because of covenant brios, because of human dignity. What does that mean? Shor, shalach biraglov, when you steal the shor, so it goes in its own. You're not picking up the shor, so you don't have to schlep it. You don't have to go and do work with this shor. As opposed to, that's why you pay chamisha, as opposed to set, this sheep, sher kivo, aksepo, you have to go carry the sheep. It may be a little baby sheep, and you have to go and carry it. So therefore, because you have to do this extra work, kovet abrios, you only have to pay arba. So we have these two reasons, they're not mutually exclusive, Rav Meir and Rav Yochanan Zakkai, to explain why if you shecht or you sell a seh, you only pay 4. If you shecht or you sell the shor that you've gotten, you pay 5. This segues into the next Mishnah, which goes as follows. Ein legadlin behema daka b'eretz Yisrael. One is not permitted to go and raise behema daka. So the kosher behema dakas would be goats and sheep. The goat and sheep families. So you're not allowed to go and raise these animals in Eretz Yisrael because they're going to go and pasture in your neighbor's land. They're going to go steal from your neighbor. She explains that this is the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. When Yeshua brought us into Eretz Yisrael, so he made 10 decrees, which we'll see, that in order to facilitate the growth and establishment of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, so one of them was that don't raise Behemah Dakla, because Shemavir es Hasodes, because they're going to go and destroy somebody else's field. The whole Sodes Eretz Yisrael, Stomim the Yisrael, and the Stomim, they belong to another Yid, and therefore they're going to be stealing from other people if you let them go free rain and pasture. That's the first thing that the Mishnah tells us. Don't grow Behemah Dakla, don't raise Behemah Dakla in Eretz Yisrael. However, Avu Magadim in Syria, you can go raise them in Syria, even though Syria was conquered. Rashi says this is Aram Tzova, the David Kivsho with the Kivush Shochid, and therefore you might have thought this has the same status as Eretz Yisrael. You can't raise Behemah Daka there as well. So Uksav the Lo Shmei Kivush, this wasn't a real Kivush; it was a Kivush Shochid. Babi Kichutz Laretz, and therefore it still has the status of Chutz Laretz in this regard. But Chutz Laretz Mutul Legadim, and outside of Eretz Yisrael, you are allowed to raise goats and sheep. Lo chayshinon liyisha, because we're not concerned about, quote, establishing the community. And if your goats or sheep go, no, if they go steal something, you'll pay for it, because obviously you're not allowed to steal. So you pay if your goats and sheep go and eat from somebody else's field. But in Eretz Yisrael, even though you'd have to pay for it, we don't want you to do it because it's going to destroy Eretz Yisrael. You need the crops. So therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, we made Xera, in Chutz Laretz, even in Syria, we did not. But even in Eretz Yisrael, the rabbis were not masaki that you can't be Megadol Behemoth Daka in non-cultivated areas, in the desert. You're also allowed to go and raise these Behemoth Daka because there's nothing for them to destroy. There's no Yish of Eretz Yisrael because there are no fields over there. The Mishnah then tells us, "Ein megadlin tarnagolim Yerushalayim." Now I go raise chickens in Yerushalayim. Why is that? If they hakadoshim, because of Kach. Rashi explains, "Shisrael oklum sham basar shlamim." In Yerushalayim, people constantly are eating basar kach. We can eat the kachay kalim, the shlamim, throughout Yerushalayim, within the walls of Yerushalayim, and therefore there's a lot of kachay meat over there, and you have toda meat as well. Umaisa behemah is there as well. Rashi says. The derech tarnagolim, and if the chickens were allowed to be raised over there, chickens like to go into garbage dumps. Lenaker biashpa, they go and peck in the garbage dumps. And shem yaviu etzem kiadasha min hasheretz, and maybe they will come and take. Now the Runsberg takes out the word etzem. He just says they'll bring an adasha worth. Doesn't have to be a bone. They can bring in a dasha's worth of hasheretz from the garbage dump and be mitame viatame wesakachim. So therefore, don't take this chance. Don't raise chickens in Yerushalayim, because of kachim concerns that would be metami them. And likewise, Kohanim, who are dealing with truma all the time, look, Kohanim, very so. Kohanim, who always have mipnei ataros because of the truma that they have, so they should never have chickens in their area because of the concern that it will be metame the truma that the Kohanim have. Then the Mishnah says, likewise, ein megadlin chazirin b'chol makom. The Gemara will explain why. Time of the first Gemara, Rashi says, we'll wait till we get to the Gemara. You're not allowed to go raise pigs in any place in Eretz Yisrael, and even outside of Eretz Yisrael. So lo yigadal these chazirin b'chol makom, any place. A dog, lo yigadal odam es hakelev. Elim kenoya kosher b'shalshelas. Don't raise dogs in Israel unless they're chained up so that they won't cause trouble. Now, there's a whole discussion amongst the poskim as to what type of dogs he's talking about. Is he only talking about pit bulls? Is he talking about Doberman Pinschers and aggressive dogs? Or is he talking about a little Chihuahua as well?
So in the Otsar Mefarshim, he brings down that there are opinions that it is talking about any dog, because it doesn't give us the losomim domim b'veisecha teretz. It tells us because we just don't want it to go and hurt somebody. So it seems to imply that even a pregnant woman might be miscarrying because of the bark of a dog. It doesn't have to be a dangerous dog. So therefore, the Otsar Mefarshim brings down some opinions that it applies to any dog. But in Shulchan Aruch, it seems to say that it's only talking about a dog that is a pit bull, a vicious type of a dog, because it uses the lashon of es hakeleb, meaning implying the hey hayidia, the definitive article hey. So lo yigad logan es hakeleb, the pit bull you're not allowed to keep unless you keep it chained up. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, "Ein parsim nishovim layonim." That's the girsa that we have in our Mishnah, and in the girsa that we have in our Rashi over here. However, the Masoras Hashas brings down that Rashi elsewhere had the girsa of rishva. A rishva means a trap, as opposed to nishva, which would mean that there were nets there. In any event, it means the same thing. You're not allowed to go and capture ein parsim nishovim layonim. You're not allowed to go and capture doves because the doves in the stomach belong to somebody. Unless, Elim Kein Haya Rachok Min HaYishuv Shloshim Ris. Unless you went a distance away from the Yishuv. So then, they're Mistama wild pigeons that you're capturing and not somebody's pigeons that he has in his own pigeon coop. This distance of 30 Ris is 4 mil. Every mil is 7.5 Ris. We learned this from the Mishnah Numa where it says that they would go outside of the Beis HaMikdash, where the Ish Iti would go and bring the Sar La'azazel. It was 12 mil, and it tells us there was 90 ris. So 12 times 7.5 is equal to 90. So each mil is 7.5 ris. So if we have 30 ris here, it is 4 mil. So if you go outside of the city, 4 mil, so then, Mistama, you're not capturing somebody from the city's personally owned doves, but you're capturing wild doves, which is permitted. Okay, that's our Mishnah. The Gemara begins by quoting the following brisa, Tanur Rabbanan. Eim gadlim behema daka beretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to grow, as we said in the Mishnah. The brisa says the same thing. You can't grow the goats and sheep in Eretz Yisrael. However, avim gadlim b'choreshin sheberetz Yisrael, but you can grow them, raise them in the forest of Eretz Yisrael, because, again, that was one of the takanos that Yeshua done, because he wanted to encourage the settlement of Eretz Yisrael. And if you don't allow goats and sheep at all, so then it's going to be a problem. So in the forest, which Yeshua had said are hefker, anybody can go take wood from the forest, so you can graze your animals in the forest as well. So you can go and graze and raise animals if they're going to be in the forest of Eretz Yisrael. And Besuria, the Brisa says, Afilu B'Yishav. As we point out from the Mishnah, they never made such a tekana about not raising goats and sheep in Surya because they're not concerned, because that was David HaMelech Kiva Shochet, and they weren't concerned as much about Yishuv of Surya. And of course, if you can do it in Syria, you certainly can raise goats and sheep in Chutz Laaretz. As we pointed out, if your animals do in fact cause damage to somebody, so then you will have to go pay the damage, but we're not concerned about Yishuv of Chutz Laaretz. We have another braisa, Tani Yidach, Ein Megadlim Behema Daka Beretz Yisrael. It says the same thing, you can't go raise goats and sheep in Eretz Yisrael. However, Avo Megadlim Bemidbar Sheb Yehuda, or Bemidbar Sheb Esfar Akko. It tells us that you can raise them in these desert areas where there is no Yishuv, there is no nothing that you're going to destroy, in the deserts of Yehuda, for example, or the deserts of Sfar Akko. The Sfar means the border of Akko. The Afo Pishom Behemagad Behemadaka, Abu Magad Behemagasa. And that restriction was only on Behemadaka, goats and sheep, but it wasn't on larger animals, such as cows or bulls, or horses or donkeys or camels, because Lefisha Ein Gozun Gzer Al Tzibor, Elm Kein Rov Tzibor Yicholun Lamod. So you don't go and make a gzera on the tzibur that the tzibur cannot withstand. So goats and sheep, which you can import easily enough from Surya or from Chutz Laaretz, because you need them for meat or for wool, so that's something that you can manage with without having to raise it yourself. But large animals like your cows or your bulls or your horses or donkeys or camels, so you need them right there every day. You can't go and import them and then send them back, import them and send them back. So therefore, that was permitted. The rabbis never set up a gzera that would be too difficult for the people to follow, and therefore they didn't make such a gzera, even though it would be impacting on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because your cows can also graze in somebody else's field, and even though you're going to pay for it, that would destroy somewhat the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but that would be a gzera that would be too difficult for the tzibur, and the rabbis weren't gozer it. And the Gemara now explains what I just said. Bei Madaka, for the small goats and sheep, they have shalavi michutz la'aretz. You can easily bring them in from chutz la'aretz. As opposed to Bei Magas, which you need every day, you have shalavi michutz la'aretz. It'd be too difficult. Then the Gemara says, the Braisa continues, that which we said that you can't go and raise the goats and the sheep, there are some exceptions to the rule. Since you're going to have goats and sheep to have meat for the Shlosh Regalim and to bring korbanos from them, so therefore you're going to allow them to be brought in 30 days before the Yontif, before the Regal. Called the Mishnah, but no. And likewise, if you're making a wedding and you're going to need to have a larger amount of goats and sheep, so then you're allowed to go and bring them in 30 days before the wedding. Called the Mishnah, but no, Shloshim Yom. However, once you are allowed to bring them in, Ubavach, Lo Yashes, Achrona, Shloshim Yom. But you can only bring them in until the Shlosh Regalim. You can only bring them in until the wedding. Don't say, well, now I got 30 days from the time that I bring it in. No, you really have only until the end of the Shlosh Regalim or until the end of the wedding. As Rashi says, Lokach behemos kodim l'rego shloshim yom v'samach l'rego lo yomar. Right before the bag, you shouldn't say, "Well, I already shochet es hamukdamos." I'll bring in the ones that I brought in first, u'me'achar es ha'achronos, and I'll save the ones that I brought in last to shach them much later on. No, afliachar rego ad lo shloshim yom. You can't go and say, well, I'll keep it for 30 days after the regal, 30 days from the time that I bought them. No, you use them up by the regal, you use them up by the mishnah, you can't keep them for a long period of time beyond that. Now, the soul could die to Chaminach, I might have thought, that if the regal would be today, so maybe from the time that I purchased the last animal, I still have 30 days. Akati lo modu late loss in yomin. So therefore, you might have thought that. So lo nemo tlosin mishra shari le'leshiyu. Don't say that there is a 30-day heter. No, it's 30 days before the yontif or before the wedding that you have. Elokivon de nofak le'regel or nofak le'mishta. Once the regal has come or the wedding has come, lo miboye le'leshiyu. You don't have the right to go keep it any longer. Turn to pay omud aleph va'tabach lokeach v'shochet, and the butcher, the one who's going to go and shecht the animal, so he's allowed to go and take the animal and shecht it lokeach v'shochet. So he is allowed to keep it 30 days before the time that he's going to need to go and shecht it. Uvach lo yasha haguna shebehen shloshim yom, but he can't keep it after the time of the market for the 30 days. The same thing applies to him. He has to shecht all of his animals by the time of the quote market day. For the time before the regal. So Rashi tells us this tabach is the butcher, Hamakabetz Behemos Liyom Ashuk. He's collecting all the animals for the market day. So he has to go and take them. He has 30 days beforehand to go and take them, but he can't keep them. Uvlach lo yashes aguna. The aguna means hamuucheris, Rashi says. Elsewhere, some of the Mepharshim explain in the Otsa Mepharshim, he brings down from the Rabbeinu Baruch that the aguna either means the kechusha, the weaker ones, or the menekes, the ones that are still nursing, so he wants to keep them as long as possible. The kechusha, he's hoping that it'll get stronger, and the menekes, he wants to keep on having it nurse the baby, so he wants to keep them as long as possible. So you can keep them up until the market day, but beyond the market day, you're not allowed to go and keep them. As Rashi says, you don't have 30 days. You're allowed to buy them 30 days before the day of the market. But if you buy them 5 days before the day of the market, you only have 5 days to go and keep it in that situation. You can't go keep it for 30 days. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.